Welcome back or welcome to Golf Nerds. This is Guy Cross, your host. In this episode, I'm going to walk past noisy restaurants and I'm going to talk to you about my own golf game and what you can learn from my mistakes. I'm going to talk to you about a membership scheme for a club in the UK that seems too good to be true. And I'm going to wrap up by telling you why I'm going to be playing a full bag, almost, of Orca golf clubs in the very near future. So, without further ado, what can you learn from my golf game? I mean, you can learn a lot. I mean, joking about it, you can learn that it's really important to hit the ball a long way and be good at putting. Because I don't hit the ball far enough and I suck with the putter. So, what else can you learn? Let me tell you, I played 9 holes just a few days ago. We would have played the full game, but we got rained off. I videoed a few shots, mainly for fun, to put them up on the Facebook group. But actually, the reason it's turned out well is it's actually given me some insight into my own game. Let me quickly talk you through 2 holes. The first hole at this course is a downhill par 5. Plays a little over 500 from the tips. I hadn't really warmed up when I got to the course, but had a good swing, felt pretty good on the tee, hit driver. The ball came off the face a little high, so it didn't zip off quite as I'd like, but I ended up, 250 or more down the fairway. As I'd taken the dog leg off, I had 230, 240 downhill to the green on a par 5. It was first of the day, so I thought to myself, just hit a slow 3-wood. You've got plenty of club. Try and finesse one in. I hit the shot. I thought I'd put a terrible swing on it. And ended up 20 yards right at the green, having to play with 1 foot over the red line of a hazard. But then I watched the video, and it turns out the ball was quite a way below my feet, and I didn't factor in for that. I put a great swing on the ball. It started out pretty much at the stick, and I was trying to hit a fade. And then it did fade, and then it rolled with the slope, and I ended up 20 yards right at the green. Had I have taken more time to line up, had I have taken more time to assess my lie, that's not a bar by the way, that's just a car, had I taken to assess my lie and see how low the ball was compared to where my feet was, I would have started that left of the green, really intentionally, playing for a miss that would have left me left of the hole if I was going to miss. But I didn't do that, so I ended up with an irksome 20, 30 yard pitch over a bunker. First short shot of the day as well. I put it to about 10 feet, which wasn't great, but I have to be fair and honest to myself, it wasn't that bad. But I just wasn't close enough to the hole my second shot. So I missed the putt. The reason I missed the putt was I didn't know how slow the greens were. The greens were playing particularly slow that day. Left a 10-foot or 2-foot short, tapped in for par. A scrappy par's not a bad way to start a game of golf, but equally, it should have been a really easy birdie, and it wasn't. And then the next hole, I made the same mistake again. The next hole I videoed was 5. And cutting this story short, is a long par 4 with quite an uphill second shot, and so I had 170 from a decent lie in the rough. The pin was tucked on the right hand side of the hole. I hit 4 or 5 iron, and the shot I had in my head was to start one out at the flag with my natural draw. Hopefully it was going to move into the middle of the green. If I left it out to the right, it's going to end up closer to the flag. If I hooked one, be on the left edge of the green. What happened was it started at or left of the flag, and I ended up without putting a bad swing on it. Really, ended up on the left fringe. I made par, but it wasn't as simple as it should, and it certainly I didn't have a serious look at birdie, and I should have done the way I was swinging the club that day. Anything that was on the fairway, I should have been giving myself a birdie look from. And I can evidence that by the fact I actually shot 34 for the 9 holes we played. On the 6th hole, I stuck a wedge, it was par 3, to a couple of feet and canned that. And then on 8, I had a 60-ish yard pitch over water and stuck it to 3 feet and canned that. The rest of the holes, I have to admit, were not ugly pars, but not quite what I'd want. I certainly felt like I had a few more birdies in me, and the alignment errors I made. So I was telling you about 5. You know, how often does the club hood, when you're coming out the rough, especially with a longer club, I should have been starting that out on the very right edge of the green. The furthest right I was comfortable with the miss being, knowing it was going to hook. My natural shot's a hook. The shot was inclined to hook or go left because of the rough. I played a stupid shot. And I got away with it. I still made par, but I should have been making a very easy par or having a good look at birdie. So what you learn, dear golfer, is take time to set up. Assess the lie the golf gods give you. It's important and it's good for your game. Because from flat lies, my tee shots, actually, apart from one where I was trying to destroy, were really good on 4. We were playing off wet season tees, which would be winter tees in a, you know, normal language, non-tropical language, and we were playing off basically reds, so my 330, 340 yard par 4 turned into a 281, and I was like, but it wasn't, you know, I couldn't quite make it, but I thought, because I've got a shot where I can set up for a miss, and the miss is going to be right, but if I nail it, the ball goes further than normal. And so what I thought I would do is try and smack one. And I did smack one, but not quite as nicely as I thought, so I was way right. And let me tell you a novelty of this course. So the course is notoriously wet, especially in wet season. So we have an informal local rule amongst me and my friends that play there regularly. We call it, the golf course is called Summit, and Summit rules, there's a few of them, but the main number one Summit rule is, because the course is so wet, if you hit drive or any shot and you know, and everyone knows where that ball landed, but you can't see it, you're going to know that ball's actually a couple of feet under the ground because it's just plugged in soggy, muddy ground. And so I hit this drive down the right side of the fairway, and it should have been going down the left and cut into the middle, but it went straight. It was a push, went straight down the right, and it landed in, you know, semi-rough. Grass wasn't covering my shoes at all. Any other place would have been really easy to find the ball, but I couldn't find it. So my playing partners acknowledged that it was a candidate for Summit rules because it should have been really easy to find. So I dropped a ball, pitched on 2 putts for par. But you know, I think if I'd have hit that drive well, it would have been in the middle of the fairway. Probably would have been easier to find even if it was underground. It wouldn't have left a bad taste in my mouth, me par, because if I'd have found it plugged, you know, and I'd made birdie, I'd feel good. Like, we play some ropey golf courses and we end up doing things like that. Kids rob your golf balls and stuff like that. You have to just say, look, that kid clearly is just running away with my golf ball, so I'm going to throw one down about where he was. But then if you make birdie from that spot, you do feel a bit bad. but that's how I like to play my golf, really. I either want super luxury or rough ass. So I'm quite happy. I don't know why I told you all this. I could have just told you I made eagle, right? It's only a podcast, you don't know. Anyway, so, yeah, I was hitting the ball really great off the tee. Off flat lies, I was doing well. Which has shown you that I'm putting too much range time and not enough course time in. Anyway, my fellow, my dear listener, I was going to talk to you about golf club membership. There's a golf club in the northwest of England, in Her Majesty's United Kingdom, called Frodsham, and they're offering an all-inclusive golf membership for about £1,000 a year, $1,200 US for those Americans that can't count. Maybe between $1,200 and $1,300 pre-Brexit. And for that money, you get to play all the golf you want. It's a walking course, but you know, us Brits have legs that aren't too flabby to move, so we like walking. For that money, you get snacks. Like, they've got a snack menu that's free for all inclusive members. Every time you play as much as you want. There's a daily limit on the free beer available, but there is free beer for all-inclusive members and soda and tea and coffee. I'm not sure the soda or coffee is restricted. Let's be honest. None of us are close enough. Not many of us. Maybe one or two of you are close enough to take this offer up. So you should look into that detail. And also, you get a free lesson for 15 minutes with the golf pro once a month. Isn't that wicked? £1,000 a year. You get all that. Looks like a decent enough, you know, regular club. You know, a couple of thousand or more people enjoy playing golf there once a year. On an annual basis, you know what I mean? Probably not the best track in the world. I hope it's a long way from the worst. I'm certain it's a long way from the worst. Bet they don't have summit rules there. They pride themselves on being dry. Like, the turf conditions are dry all year round. Sounds perfect to me. It's a 25-minute drive from where I'm going to be living in the UK. And if that deal's still on when I get back, and they tick a couple of other boxes, which is decent practice facilities and not too much traffic in between me and where that place is, I can't see why I would be joining anywhere else. For me, you know, imagine going up there, run around 9 holes, Diet Coke on the way out, Diet Coke on the way in. Oh, heaven. Cheeky coffee for the way home in the car as well. Oh. It's just perfect. Just perfect. Really affordable, you know. I bet you can pay monthly because most British courses let you pay monthly. You'd be talking, you know, if they add a couple of percent on, £100 a month for your golf membership. And your snacks. I told the wife about it. She's like, you blatantly spend that much money on Diet Cokes when you play golf, let alone the actual cost of golf. And you know what? She's probably right. So that's awesome. Why don't more clubs set up systems like that? Work out a way that you can get more people playing golf and you still make money. Now, on the topic of money, and we're whipping through stuff here today. And there's a reason for that, you know. This is actually my second take. I must have messed up hitting record first time around on this podcast, but normally I just swear quietly to myself and don't try, and then you miss a podcast for a week. But because I didn't do one last week, I wanted to get a podcast in this week. Last week my kids were off school and stuff, and so, yeah. It didn't get podcast out of me. I didn't have masses to say. I had the golf club thing. And I've got this story coming up. So I've been practicing a bit more. Picked up my golf clubs again. Obviously, I just told you about playing golf. I'm frustrated with my golf clubs because they're not... They're all individually great, but they're not working as a set for me because of shoddy build quality. And even if each individual club is well built, there's no one managing my clubs, and I haven't got the time or, to be honest, the workshop to do swing weight adjustments and stuff like that. So that's left me with this sort of golf bag. It works, but I don't enjoy it. And so I made the call to Alex from Orca finally and said, dude, hook a mother flipper up. And cutting a long story short again, I got to the point of asking about money, and he said, keep your money. Because, you know, I've been good to Alex with the podcast and some work away from the podcast you won't have seen. He said, keep your money. Then he corrected himself. He said, guy, give your money to the homeless. What do you want? So I didn't reply to him for a few days because I was humbled by his generosity. Truly, that's not hype. I was just like, that guy's so generous. I feel like a dick now because I feel like I've asked him for free gear. Although I hadn't, I'd said, look, you extended a discount to me because I'd helped you out. I guess I've helped him out a bit more since. Can you tell me how much, give me a ballpark. I've got, literally I said to him, I've got an envelope full of cash earmarked to replace my golf gear with. It's yours. And basically I was thinking, if it's too much, well, the guy's great. Let's sort him out. And if it's not enough, well, maybe he can take this now and I'll pay him the rest when I've got it. Like a deposit, because he's going to have to build clubs, ordering shafts and stuff. He said, no, keep your money, give it to the homeless. So I stewed, humbled by his generosity. And then I'm at church a few days after. I go to church. I am a Bible-bashing, born-again Christian with a foul mouth. Go figure, right? And if you want to ask me in more detail about that, please drop me a line at GolfNerdGuy on Twitter. I would love to talk to you and explain to you about my faith, my lifestyle decisions. There are some conflicts, and I'm mostly happy with them. Like, I accept them. I digress. I'm at church. One of the guys at church is talking about helping out a group of people who are less fortunate than we are. If you can listen to a podcast, you are more fortunate than these guys. I'm talking people who are essentially homeless. They may have a roof over their head, but if that roof is made out of some corrugated iron you found, I think it counts, right? Homeless. And these guys are not without money. Like, they're eating, they're not begging for food. But they might be selling cigarettes on the street to make money for food, or they might, you know, go to the local street market and buy $20 worth of apples and sell them for $40 every day on the street or whatever. But, you know, that's the developing world and how poverty works. These guys are still not nailing life, right? No one lives like that by choice. And our decision as a church was like, let's make Christmas great for them. It's a brand new church. This church is like 15 weeks old. So we haven't got many people, but we're like, what can we do? So we decided to go and see these guys and work out if they needed us to like help them with some like basic supplies over the festive period. Be that clothes, food, or whatever, like the fundamentals, rice, fish, meat, shoes for the kids, because the school year will be starting shortly after Christmas here in Panama. So, you know, tick those boxes so what money they have can be spent on fun stuff. Or go the other way, give them the fun stuff. We just, you know, we want to meet them and work out how to help. And I've got this thing that Alex said to me in my head, right? So I go and see the guy at church after church in private, and I've not told anyone about this apart from Alex, and I say, hey man, look, I've got an envelope full of cash that I was going to use to buy some golf clubs for work, because I'm still technically a pro golfer, right? But you know, someone's been kind enough to give me the golf clubs and told me to give the money to the homeless, so yeah, here I am having a freaky spiritual experience. You know, have the money. So then I call, or I text Alex and tell him this story. And he's really excited. So he's like, it's really happening. I can't believe you did it. Look, let me send me your proposal for the golf clubs. Let me send you a proposal for golf clubs going to make you. Sorry, I've been rubbish. I'm a bad friend. I hate you. He said, let me get a proposal over to you. And I'm sure when he's finished scratching his backside, he will get that proposal over to me. Because I've given away my golf club money now, Alex, so you better have. No, I know he will. He's good for it. So that is a long way of saying this podcast, in some roundabout way, is brought to you by Olka Golf. Because of their generosity, I have some shiny new golf clubs on the way. And some kids are going to have a slightly better Christmas. Isn't that awesome? Now, I ran that by someone, a listener to the podcast. And he said, people are going to be, you may get some grief for getting free golf gear. But I think this listener may have missed something. This isn't my first free golf gear. The golf gear I'm replacing, I didn't really pay for. Cobra gave it me. And I'm stopping working with Cobra because I'm doing less and less golf coaching here in Panama. And, you know, my work here on the podcast and with the folks I work with, the few people I do, isn't really giving them any payoff. So I'm not even asking them for free clubs. I wouldn't do that. It seems immoral to me. Remember, I didn't ask Alex for some. He offered me some. And they're kind of not free. We just kind of come up with a little plan to bless or benefit a group of people with nothing, involving some money and some golf clubs. Just some resources being moved around that keeps everyone smiling. And so, isn't that cool? So yeah, don't think, oh, he sold out by getting free golf gear. I sold out ages ago. I've always been getting free golf gear. With the money I had in that envelope, I know I could have gone to Cobra and just got, well, golf clubs you don't know about yet. The irons have been released, the woods haven't, right? And it's not my place to discuss them. Golfworks probably has all the details of the next Cobra release, which will be coming between now and Christmas, or the announcement will be. You with me? I haven't sold out with Orca. I sold out ages ago. You know, I sold out when I was a kid, and there were some Maxwell Iblattas in my locker one day at a golf event. Golf has worked for me, and I try not to work to pay for my tools for my job. In the same way that if you work in an office, you don't need to buy a pen. Right? They give you the pens. That's how I feel about my golf clubs. Now, I love my golf clubs more than you probably love your pens. But I tell you what, I know some folks who use a mobile phone as part of their job, and they really like... I know someone, in fact, I was talking to someone who also uses a BlackBerry like I do, a new BlackBerry. And I flipping love my BlackBerry. And he's bought himself one now, so he's got a work BlackBerry and a personal BlackBerry. Like, he loves it as much as I love my golf clubs, because it's a central part of his life, and as smartphones are a central part of all of our lives, right? I try not to pay for my golf tools. It's not that every club in my Cobra golf bag is free. Like, my Cobra golf bag was free. I put my company name and website on it. I paid for that myself. Because it's an advert, right? Let me think. The irons were free. My driver was free. My 3-wood was free. 5-wood free. Although I traded it because I got an LTD 5-wood and I didn't quite get on with it as well as I got on with the LTD driver. So I traded it with another guy for an F7. But essentially, free. My 7-wood and 9-wood, I think I've told you about before. I actually bought them on eBay. Mainly because I'm not Ricky Fowler. I don't get to walk into Cobra and make demands. I wanted to try a 7-wood. And I was thinking about asking Cobra if they had one I could just pick up using my discount. And then I saw an F7 7-wood that matched my 3 and 5 woods for $35 on eBay. And I was like, do you know what? Why even leave my house, right, to go and see Cobra for $35? Then I bought the exact same club twice and converted it to my 9-wood. And now you're trying to now you're understanding why my club weights and shafts and all that are all over the place. So, back to the program, guys. Hope you're with me. Fellas, yeah, you're with me. Yeah, my Cobra clubs are free. My Puma clothes are free. Or a couple of things I bought with discount. Because I'll go into the office and see people. And they have a little sales room there. And, you know, if there's something I like there, I probably could ask for it for free. Or I could just buy it at the hugely discounted, like, 75% off retail price they have there. So I could buy a pair of $100 golf shoes for 20, 30 bucks. You know, I just buy your gear sometimes, right? Because, to go back to my office analogy, you may get free pens from work, but sometimes you want a nice pen, right? And so you have to buy them. And if your work offer you a discount on nice pens, you buy one. So, I'm going to get some clubs from Orca, and I'm going to use their support not only to look after some homeless people, but also to look after you, dear listener. Because what it does, it's really directed the podcast. Yep, we're going to talk about the Ladies European Tour because it's fun. Yes, we're going to talk about golf gear, but we're going to shy away from talking about major brands. I want to talk about the brands that you've heard of but don't know anything about. Orca, or one of them. I'm trying to get the guys from BombTech on the podcast. I want them to essentially explain themselves, but I'm going to help them explain themselves because I know the logic behind their brand, and it's actually not stupid. But you need to hear the guys speak. You need to listen with an open mind. I think, you know, we're coming up to half an hour, so I think I'm going to call that a day because I've been talking non-stop now for about an hour and a quarter. If you remember, I lost a podcast and I've actually got a sore throat. I've got some fun golf stuff lined up this week. Tomorrow I hope to hit the range, if it doesn't rain. And then on Thursday, I have a meeting with the chairman of the Association of Panama Golfers. He asked me for a meeting. This is where I get thrown off every golf course in Panama. No, I don't think it is. But it may be where I ask him for my amateur status back or for his support in me beginning the process. Because I can pay my money and join. But then I think I'm going to need a letter from him to send to the RNA in a couple of years' time, which is fine. But if he's not willing to do that, I may as well stay making money in golf, right? Even if it's a pittance. I think that's all I've got lined up in golf this week. I might try and get out on the course again, even if it's just for nine. Playing nine and getting rained off actually reminded me how much I love playing nine holes of golf. So I might try and run around nine later on in the week. That's presuming I get time to hit the range tomorrow, because range time is my priority. Because while I haven't got enough time for golf as I'd like, I just want to keep my game alive by at least putting an hour minimum a week on the range. So, approaching 29 minutes. Thank you for your ears, dear listener. Looking forward to the future of the podcast, and I'm looking forward to continuing to share my insights and thoughts into golf with you. Thank you so much for listening. Do remember that you can follow me on Twitter, Golf Nerd Guy. You can find me on Facebook. Just look for Guy Cross and someone in an excellent position with his golf swing, dressed in black, Puma gear, showing you the bit of like Sergio lag. It's not quite that much, but you know, in my dreams, right? Yeah, thank you for listening. I'm going to cry now. No, you go first. No, you hang up. No, you...